Now, you're ready for the word today. I found my notes. I've got them right here. I have my security blanket, so hallelujah. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for every person here, every person that's joining us on YouTube. And Lord, I'm grateful for the good report that we got yesterday. The family that came in here to get food saying they've been watching us online and how they've been blessed. And so we're grateful for that. And we thank you that more and more people are joining us and watching us online. And so we pray over them as well as they join in with us today. We pray that you open every heart, Lord, to receive your word, Lord, for understanding to come so that we may observe to do, so that we can act on it, your word, because that's when we get results. It's when we act on it. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 27. This is we'll just jump right into the middle of what's happening here with the crucifixion of Jesus. He's been arrested. He's been taken before Pilate. So wait a minute, Pastor. Easter was 2 Sundays ago. I know. I realize that. But I'm getting somewhere this morning. And so we're going to start right here. Pilate said to them, to the mob that had arrested Jesus and brought Jesus before him, before Pilate. Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They'd, you know, that he was going to release Barabbas. They said he thought he, you know, it was his custom at Passover to release one of the prisoners. And they thought, well, surely they'll have me, they will want me to release Jesus. And they said, no, release Barabbas. Well, he said, oh, well, what about this man? What about Jesus who's called Christ? They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more. They didn't have an answer, saying, "Let him be crucified." Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be upon us and on our children." Well, they were in essence saying, "Let his death and the blame for his death be charged to us and to our children." And you know, and what a tragic thing. What a disastrous thing. And in some ways it was, because judgment came. You know, in just a few years, Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jews were scattered. The temple was destroyed. But I want to take this statement, and I want to turn it around a little bit, or give it a different meaning. His blood be upon us and on our children. His cleansing, his saving, his healing blood be upon me and upon my children. So I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about applying the blood of Jesus over your life and over your family. Praise God. So the blood, the first thing we need to understand today, the blood must be applied. For it to have an effect, it must be applied. And we're going to talk about how we do that today in the new covenant. So we're going to go back to the example that God gave in the Old Testament about the blood, and we know that this was all looking forward, pointing forward to Jesus. But we know the first Passover, the Jews were in captivity in Egypt, and the plagues had come against the Egyptians and judgment, and the final plague was going to be the death of the firstborn. But God gave Moses instructions as to what to do for them to be protected. And so Exodus 12 verse 3. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." A lamb for a household. Notice that phrase, a lamb for a household. In fact, everybody say it, a lamb for a household. A lamb for a household. Hallelujah. You have to take a lamb for your household. Amen. Praise God. You have to apply the blood over your household. He didn't say a lamb for a church. He said a lamb for a household. Oh, pastor's going to pray over us. Oh, pastor's going to plead the blood over us. Well, I do. But you need to take a lamb for your household. Amen. Amen. Verse 21 of Exodus 12, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. Well, and we know, again, and we're going to look at the scripture that talks about, we know that, again, that's foreshadowing and pointing forward to Jesus. And Jesus was the Passover lamb killed for us, right? But you know, it's not enough that Jesus died on the cross for us, that he shed his blood. We have to apply that blood, just like it wasn't enough for them to kill the Passover lamb. He didn't just say, kill the Passover lamb and leave it. Would that have been enough? If they had just killed the Passover lamb, would that have been enough? Would they have been protected? No. Look at what they had to do. Verse 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. What were they doing? They were applying the blood. They were taking that hyssop branch, using it as a paintbrush, and dipping it into the blood that they'd drained into that basin from that lamb they'd killed, and they were marking over their house, over the doorway, marking it with blood, all right? And he said, you stay inside that house. In other words, you stay under the blood, all right? For the Lord will pass through, verse 23, the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood, when he does what? When he sees the blood, what blood? The blood that was applied. All right? When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Hallelujah. So in the New Testament now, how do we do this? How do we apply the blood? We see that the blood has to be applied to be effective, right? But how do we do it? How do we apply the blood in the New Testament? We do it by faith. We do it by faith, just like they did it by faith. Amen. It's faith that activates it. We do it by faith, and we do it with words, and we do it with tokens. We apply the blood by faith, and we do it with words, and we do it with tokens. All right? Let me tell you what a token is. A token is a symbol. The elements of communion are our tokens. I looked it up in the dictionary, the word token, and it means this. I thought this was so powerful. A token is something given or shown as a guarantee. Something given or shown as a guarantee. These elements of communion are tokens. They are something that have been given to us as a guarantee, shown or given as a guarantee as of authority, right, or identity. Hallelujah. These are given as a guarantee of our authority, of our right, and our identity. Glory to God. You'd have think a spirit-filled, word-filled person wrote that definition, but it just came right out of the dictionary. Maybe they were, I don't know. Glory, it sure fits, so doesn't it? Amen. All right. Let's go now. And I got my notes, but I got them out of order here. Okay, where's page 2? All right, let's find it here. Okay. All right. So we apply the blood. Here's page 2. All right. Page 1 is done. I'll put page 1 right there. All right. What a day we're having here. We apply the blood with our words, right? Amen. All right. So here's what I do. Here's what I do on a daily basis. I say this. I say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my household, over our lives, over our property, over our possessions, and over our pets. Now, don't laugh at that. Amen. Do it. Amen. Praise God. You're going to see that God promised Rahab through the spies that he would protect and take care of everything, all of her stuff. Well, that includes our property, our possessions, and our pets. Amen. So I say this. I said, I plead the blood of Jesus. I say, I plead the blood of Jesus over my household, over my family. I plead the blood over our lives, over our property, over our possessions, and over our pets. And I say this. I thank you, Father, that the blood is a sign for our protection. I apply it now by faith and with my words. And I thank you, Father, that you see the blood and you will not allow the destroyer to touch us. Amen. So that's how we can apply the blood of Jesus with our words. And I want to encourage you to do so on a daily basis over yourself and over your family, over your household. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And we can apply the blood for protection and healing. What do we apply it for? What do we get? Well, we have divine protection and we have healing. Amen? Amen. In Exodus chapter... I hope I'm on the right page here. All right. 1, 2, 3. Okay, yeah, they're all here. All right, it's all good. All right. Okay, where are we at? Okay, that goes there. That goes there. You know, I am going to preach it here. Is there another page right there? All right. Praise God. Let's go to Joshua. All right. I did get ahead of myself a little bit. Let's go to Joshua chapter 2. All right. Joshua 2. I'm such a logical teacher that I have to get it in order. Okay. All right. And you'll appreciate that. All right. Joshua chapter 2. Okay. Let me set this up too. So the spies have come in to Jericho, right? God sent the spies in. Joshua sent the spies in. This is after Moses had gone. Joshua sends the spies. They come into Jericho to spy at Jericho, and they end up encountering Rahab, right? Okay? And so Rahab says, well, what took you so long? We've been waiting on you 40 years to get here. We heard about how the Lord dried up the Red Sea, and we heard about how he defeated all your enemies, and we've been in fear for 40 years, and y'all been afraid to come in here, we understand. And so they finally, you know, they finally get around to getting in there. And she says, I want you to make me a promise that you're going to protect me. Because she had promised to hide them, you know. And so Joshua 2, verse 12. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token. Look at that. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sister, and all that they have. So she's drawing her circle pretty wide here. She's saying, not just me, not just my life, but me, all my relatives, and all we have, all of our stuff. Amen. And deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. So she said, give me a true token. In other words, give me a guarantee. What is a token? Something given or shown as a guarantee. She said, I want you to give me a guarantee that you're going to keep me safe and you're not going to destroy me when y'all come in and take this city. All right? So give me something. So verse 17. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you've made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window. So they did. They gave her a token. They had a scarlet cord. And they said, we want you to take this token and we want you to bind it in the window. All right? Well, what was she doing? She was applying the blood just like the Israelites did in Egypt. Exactly like that. But don't you know, she would have drawn a lot of suspicion if she'd have killed a lamb and put the blood. But nobody's going to really notice a scarlet cord hanging in the window. But yet, it had the same effect. It had the same effect. And we don't have to go back and kill the Passover lamb today and apply its blood. If we'll use a token, it will have the same effect. Amen? All right. So he says, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. In other words, put them under the blood. All right. Verse 21. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. She applied it. And she had to make sure that she applied that, didn't she? Just like today, the blood has to be applied. Amen. All right. And then we get to, we fast forward to chapter 6, and just this one statement in chapter 6, verse 25. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. It worked. It worked. That scarlet cord as a token, as a guarantee, hanging in her window when they came in and they took Jericho. The whole city wall fell. Everything was destroyed except Rahab's house. And she and all of her family and all their stuff was preserved and protected. And you and your family and all your stuff can be preserved and protected if you'll learn to apply the blood. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So again, the way we apply the blood is we do so by faith, with our words, and with tokens. So in the New Testament, we see this in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus is the true Passover lamb. And just like the children of Israel applied the blood in the Old Testament, and they're in Egypt, and they were protected. So now we've got the fulfillment, the true. And when we take His blood and we apply it, it will work. Amen. It will work. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 3:25, and this is God's word. God showed that Christ is the throne of mercy where God's approval is given through what? Faith in Christ's blood. Faith in Christ's blood. What's your faith in? Our faith is in Christ's blood. Our faith is in the blood of Jesus. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Our faith is in His blood. And so again, we do so with our words. So I say, now I'm back to where I was at earlier. I plead the blood over my household, over our lives, our property, our possessions, and our pets. And I say the blood is a sign for our protection. And I apply it now by faith and with my words. And Lord, I thank you that you see the blood and you pass over us. And you will not allow the destroyer to touch us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we apply the blood for protection and healing. And again, Exodus 12, 13 in God's word. But the blood on your houses will be a sign for your protection. The blood applied is a sign in the realm of the Spirit. When you and I apply the blood by faith and with our words and with tokens, it becomes a sign that God sees in the realm of the Spirit, and it's also a sign that the devil sees and has to respect. Amen? All right. So when we apply the blood with our words and with our faith and with these tokens, what we're saying is we're saying that the Lord is our refuge. Amen? We're saying that the Lord is our protector, that He's our refuge. Amen? Psalm 91, verse 2. Psalm 91, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. When we apply the blood, we're saying that. When we apply the blood with our words, when we apply the blood in the act of receiving communion with these tokens, we are saying, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, He is my God, and in Him I will trust. And then verse 9 of Psalm 91 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. When did I do that? When did I make the Lord my refuge? By saying He is. Amen. Do you see that? When I apply the blood and when I speak and I say the Lord is my refuge and when I apply the blood with my words and with these tokens, I'm making him my refuge. And the psalmist said, because you've done that, because you've made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling, no evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we apply the blood for protection. And then this, of course, when he talks about plague, that includes healing. Amen. Any plague would be any disease. Amen. Any infirmity. Glory to God. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Glory to God. Your dwelling, that's twofold. Your dwelling is your home that you live in, but your dwelling is also the body that your spirit and soul live in. That's your dwelling as well. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, if this earthly house, which is our dwelling. Amen. Talking about our body. Amen. Glory to God. So apply it. Amen. We can apply the blood for protection and healing. And then number two, we can apply the blood of Jesus for cleansing. Past, present, and future. We can apply the blood for cleansing. Has anybody ever needed cleansing? Amen. Hallelujah. First John chapter 1, verse 7. And this is in the Amplified Bible, the classic edition of the Amplified. None of this New Coke Amplified for us. Amplified Bible, Coke Classic. All right. 1 John 1, 7. But if we really are living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another. And look at this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt. The blood, what blood? The blood applied. The blood applied. Hallelujah. The blood cleanses us from all sin and guilt and keeps us cleansed from sin. This is wonderful. Keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Yes, we can apply the blood when we have sinned. We can apply the blood and we can go and say, Father, I missed it. I blew it. I messed up. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to wash me in the blood of Jesus to restore me back to fellowship. Amen. And we should do that. But then it says the blood, if we'll apply it proactively, the blood will keep us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. You can apply the blood proactively. Don't wait till you sin to apply the blood. Go ahead and apply it proactively, and that'll keep you cleansed from sin. Glory. What a blessing that is. Amen. What a benefit that is. So the blood can be applied both for cleansing and for keeping power. Amen. The blood cleanses us from past sins, present sins, and the cleansing work will keep us from sin. Amen. Amen. The blood of Jesus silences the accusations of Satan against us, if we'll apply it. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren. Who's that? Satan. He's known. In fact, that's what the name, the title Satan actually means, accuser. That's what Satan means, accuser. He is the accuser. His name is, that's the number one thing he does. He accuses the brethren. He accuses us. Who accused them before our God day and night, he's been cast down. And they, the brethren, us, believers, and they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now again, that with the word testimony doesn't mean, well, we're going to have like we do in full gospel, which is valid and right and good. So-and-so is going to come and they're going to share their testimony. They're going to tell about how they got saved, about what God did in their life. And, and their story. They're going to share that. No, testimony is we are testifying. This is legal terminology. We're testifying legally with the blood and about what the blood has done for us. And we overcome Satan and we overcome his accusations by the blood of the Lamb and by testifying to what the blood has done for us. The blood has washed me. The blood has cleansed me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin and guilt. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:14 in the New Living Translation. He talks about the verses before that. He says in the Old Testament there were the blood of bulls and goats. But then he says, just think how much more the blood of Christ will do what? Purify our consciences. Purify, the blood will purify your conscience. Hallelujah. That place where the devil tries to come in and keep you bound with guilt and with shame. Thank God the blood purifies our conscience. Amen. Well, the blood will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. Hallelujah. The blood purifies our consciences so that we can worship God. What does the devil do sometimes to us? We want to enter in church or at home and to worship, and the devil says, who do you think you are? Look, you're not fit to do that. You're not worthy to do that. You think you're going to come in here and praise God and look at what you failed last week. You missed it here. Look at what you did. No, the blood cleanses our consciences so that we can worship the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. We can come right. Worship's not about you anyway. You've got it sadly out of order if you're worshiping you. If you're trying to worship, oh, you know, you're like the Pharisee that Jesus pointed out that got up there and prayed and said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I give tithes and offerings. I'm so glad, Lord. Don't you love me? And Jesus said, then there's the publican came along and beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, this is the one that went home justified. So worship, you're not worshiping you. You're not worshiping your performance. You're worshiping God, and he never changes. He's always worthy. He's always worthy of our worship, so we can always worship him. And because of the blood, we can come right in with boldness and confidence right into his very presence and do so without any sense of guilt or shame or inferiority. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen? Hallelujah. So I say this as I'm applying the blood. I plead, Lord, I plead the cleansing work of the blood of Jesus over my life and over my family. I thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And I thank you that the blood keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. And I apply it. And I usually name each one of my children, all of my family members and my grandchildren as I do that. Amen? That's applying the blood, applying the cleansing blood. And then finally, the third one here is this. Is that we can apply the blood to set our household apart for God's purposes. Ourselves, our lives, and our households apart. And I'm so excited about this, to have discovered this and to learn to do this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, and again, this is God's Word. Hebrews 10:10, in God's Word, it says, we have been set apart as holy because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do. So what set us apart as holy? What Jesus did. What Jesus did set us apart as holy. We've been set apart as holy because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do by sacrificing his body once and for all. Amen. Hallelujah. So that word, the words set apart there, some versions translate it sanctified. And that's a whole doctrine in some denominations. You know, it's a separate work of grace in some denominations. You know, you go down to the altar on Sunday and you get saved. You come back to church on Sunday night and you get sanctified. You come back on Wednesday night and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, some groups teach that. But we believe that sanctification is a process. Yes, Jesus has done it once and for all, but the outworking of it in our lives is a continual process. Amen? But that work of sanctification is done by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We've been set apart as holy because Jesus did what God wanted him to do. He sacrificed his body. When he sacrificed his body, he shed his blood. Amen. And we're set apart as holy, sanctified, which means to be set apart for God's use, for God's purposes. Amen. And it's the blood that does that. Do you know that God has a purpose for your life? And he wants you to be sanctified and set apart unto that purpose. Then that doesn't mean that every one of us will be in full-time ministry. It's not talking about that. But God has a purpose for each one of our lives. And it's through the blood applied over our lives that we are set apart to that purpose. Amen? Amen. Now, in Hebrews 9, let's look a little further here. In Hebrews 9, again, the writer of Hebrews is going back and comparing and showing what Moses did with the children of Israel as a foreshadowing of what Jesus did as our high priest, okay? For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop. Again, hyssop was the thing they used to apply it with. Like they took that hyssop branch and they applied the blood over their households. Well, here Moses takes the hyssop. He takes the blood of goats and calves. He takes water, scarlet wool, and hyssop. And he sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. So he's sprinkling blood. He's applying blood over all the people. Over all the country. They're standing out there and Moses is shaking that hyssop branch and they're getting splattered with the blood. Think of that. Saying, so as he's sprinkling it, he's saying something. He's applying it by saying something. Saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. All the vessels of the ministry, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so they built the tabernacle, and you know, you can read in the book of Exodus all the different pieces of furniture and utensils and vessels that they built for that. Well, Moses came along, and he sprinkled all of those things with blood as well. So what are you getting at, Pastor? Well, think about it. Under the new covenant, we are the vessels of ministry. The vessels of ministry in the new covenant are not pots and bowls and lavers and lampstands. The vessels of ministry in the new covenant are us. God lives in us. God's Spirit dwells in us. We are the vessels of ministry. And the vessels of ministry were sanctified by the sprinkling of that blood. And the same principle applies today. We are set apart to God's purposes when we apply the blood. Do you see that? In 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, he says, but in a great house. This great house Timothy's talking about is the house of God, the body of Christ. The church, not the building, not the facility, but the people, the invisible spiritual body of Christ. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor, using the analogy here. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel. He will be a vessel. Everybody say, he will be a vessel. So we are the vessels. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Amen. Do you want to be prepared for every good work? Do you want to be useful for God to use you as a vessel that He can flow through, that He can work through, that He can bless through, that He can lead other people to Jesus through, that He can bring His healing and delivering power through? Amen? All right. So here's how it says we're sanctified, we can be sanctified for the Master. And how are we sanctified? Well, Moses sprinkled with blood. He applied the blood to sanctify those vessels, to set them apart. So this is how I say it when I'm praying and applying the blood. I plead the sanctifying work of the blood of Jesus over my life and over my household. We are the vessels of ministry. And I say that every member of my family is sanctified, set apart for the purposes of God by the blood of Jesus. And I say that every member of my family will fulfill their divine purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. What am I doing? I'm sprinkling blood on myself and on my household. I'm sprinkling the sanctifying blood over these vessels of ministry. Hallelujah. Reed, come on back up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 24. And could I get someone to run back and tell, I meant to notify Amanda sooner. I want the kids, since we didn't have communion earlier, well, we want Amanda and whoever's in Super Kids to join us. Thank you, Dave. So Hebrews 12, 24. And this is out of the English Standard Version. It says, and to Jesus, this is who we've come to, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the what? That's reading different. To the sprinkled blood that speaks, it should read, I meant to have that in the English Standard. I guess we didn't get it in. The mediator, or either that, or it's different in here than what I've read in my program. But anyway, let me read it to you. To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. It says the blood of sprinkling. That's why I wanted to read that other version, because I like the way it says better, the sprinkled blood. When you read this, it's same though. When you read the blood of sprinkling or you read the sprinkled blood, it just means this. It means the blood applied. It means the blood applied. And so what he's saying is this. It's the blood applied that speaks. Hallelujah. See, he said it speaks better, a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel, the Bible says God spoke to Cain after he had killed Abel. And he said, where's your brother? And Cain said, what am I, my brother's keeper? And God said, his blood is crying out to me from the ground. What was it saying? That blood, the blood of Abel, was saying, avenge me, God, I want justice. But here, the writer of Hebrews says the blood of Jesus speaks better things. The blood of Jesus cries out. What blood? The sprinkled blood. The applied blood. So when we apply the blood of Jesus by our faith, with our words, and with tokens, that blood is saying something. That blood is saying forgiven. That blood is saying redeemed. That blood is saying, Satan, you're off limits. That blood is saying healed. That blood is saying delivered. That blood is saying protected. Hallelujah. That blood is saying sanctified and set apart as holy for the purposes of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then just for good measure, I add this in. In Isaiah 59, as I'm praying over my household, Isaiah 59, 21 says this, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. So here's what I say in response to that verse. Thank you, Lord, for your covenant promise to me. This is what God says, as for me. God says, this is what I'm going to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, as for me, this is what I'm going to do. So I say, thank you, Lord, for your covenant promise to me. Your spirit which is upon me, and your spirit is upon me, and your words are in my mouth. And I thank you that your spirit is upon each of my children and their spouses and my grandchildren. And your words are in their mouths. And again, I usually call them by name as I do this. And they shall not depart from the mouths of my children and my grandchildren from this time and forevermore. I'm praying way on down till Jesus, if Jesus tarries, my children and their children and their children and their children, the Spirit of God is going to be on them and the words of God are going to be in their mouth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. We can apply the blood. We can apply the blood over our lives and over our households. Amen. We do it with our words and we do it with tokens. Hallelujah. Praise God. A token, something given. Go ahead and get your tokens out. Hallelujah. Your elements of communion. If you're joining us on YouTube, we've got these elements here. You can use whatever you can find in your house. It's good if you've got grape juice and a little cracker, but you can use orange juice if you have to. You can use water if you have to. What's important is what's behind it. That scarlet cord was all that was necessary for Rahab. She didn't have to go and kill a lamb. It would have attracted undue attention and may have messed up their invasion of Jericho. All she had to do was hang that cord in the window, that scarlet cord, because it was given as a guarantee of authority, right, and identity. These tokens that we're about to apply by faith are given to us as a guarantee. Jesus has given us this. He instituted this, and he said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. And we're proclaiming what he purchased for us. Hallelujah. These partaking of these tokens are we're reminding ourselves and the Lord, this is what you did for us. This is what's been purchased for us. This is our authority. This is our right. This is our identity. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you today for this wafer that is a token, represents the body of Jesus Christ. Father, by faith right now, we apply, by partaking of this bread, we apply the body and blood of Jesus over our lives and over our households. We do it by faith in Jesus' name. Let's partake. Father, thank you for this cup, this juice that represents the precious blood of Jesus. The blood that covers us and the blood as we apply it today that you see in the realm of the Spirit. And when you see it and as you see it, whether we are applying it by these tokens or whether we just, maybe tomorrow we won't be have the tokens, but we can still apply it with our words. And we thank you that you see this blood applied and you will not allow the destroyer to touch us. By the application of this token right now, this blood, this juice, we are saying that, Lord, you're our refuge and our fortress. You're our God, and you we trust. We thank you, Father, that we are healed through the body and blood of Jesus. We thank you that no plague shall come near our dwelling. We thank you, Father, and we praise you for the blood that cleanses our consciences from all guilt, from all shame. We thank you for the blood that washes us clean, that we might stand before the presence of God. We thank you for the blood that silences every accusation of Satan. Thank you. Thank you for that blood. And we thank you for the blood applied over our lives and our households, setting us apart for our divine purpose, for the holy working of God in us and through us. We thank you for that today. In the name of Jesus, let's partake of the cup. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to do one.